channel. I'm laying my hand on his head, say, Spirit, move through me and touch Bob's headache. He may or he may not. I have no control over that. I am merely an instrument. I have this openness to the Lord so that if he wants to work, he can. See, that's basically what a charismatic gift is. It's this openness to the Lord by which he can move through you. He may or may not, but you are open. And that's how I define charismatic gift, this gift of openness. Many of you were not open yesterday to the gift of tongues, huh? You said, no, I'm going to pray in the gift of tongues. Today you said, oh Lord, I opened myself, and wham, the gift of tongues came through, and you can pray in tongues now. You have that openness. And incidentally, tongues is the only gift that's permanent. All the other gifts are non-permanent. Healing, you're not permanently healing, you're not permanently prophesying, but you can permanently pray in tongues anytime you want. That's the one gift that is permanent. All the other gifts are transient. I lay hands on Bob, the Spirit may move through me, heal his headache, and then stops. And I may lay hands on Nina, and nothing happens. So the charismatic gifts, as I understand them, is merely this openness. And you become so open to the Lord that the Spirit will begin to move through you frequently. The more open you are, the more the Spirit will move. The more people you pray over, the more healing you will see. And remember, when you're baptized in the Spirit, the nine basic gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, faith, healing, miracles, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, now are ready to flow through you so that you can continue the ministry of Jesus, which is really the purpose of the sacrament of confirmation. All right, Matthew 10, starting with verse 5. These 12 men were sent out by Jesus with the following instructions. Do not go into any Gentile territory or Samaritan town. Instead, you are to go to the lost sheep of the people of Israel. Go and preach. The kingdom of God is near, some translations would say. It's at hand. Heal the sick. Bring the dead back to life. Heal those with dread skin diseases or leprosy. Drive out demons. I hope our apostles are doing that, driving out demons. You have received without paying, so give without being paid. Do not carry any gold, silver, or copper money in your pockets. Do not carry a beggar's bag for the trip, or an extra shirt, or shoes, or a walking stick. In other words, really trust in your Heavenly Father who feeds the birds of the air. A worker should be given what he needs. In other words, people will provide what you need. And that is certainly true. I found that always true. People will always provide through the instrumentality of the Lord's Spirit. So the Lord is commanding his apostles to heal, and we know from Mark 16:17 that every Christian has the obligation of being a channel of healing. These are the signs that will follow believers. Lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And of course, if that were being done, I think our churches would be filled on Sunday, seems to me. I want to talk about the gift of healing, which is a charismatic gift by the Lord through which the Spirit is able to flow through us and to minister life and love wholeness to people. I'm using my book, The Healing Ministry, and you notice I do use my own publications because I think it's important to follow up on what we're doing. People retain only 15% of what they hear and 85% of what they see. I think the real important work is done, not so much at a seminar like this, but on the tapes and books that you're reading for the next year, deepening your understanding of what you've received and practicing what you've received. All right, there are 10 basic guidelines for healing. First, believe that God generally wants all men healed, to be healthy, to be whole in body, mind, and spirit. And you notice in the gospel, so oftentimes it tells the apostles to heal. Tells the Christians to heal. Jesus healed everyone who came to him. Why is that? Because God is love, and Jesus is the reflection of the Father. Therefore, he's a reflection of that love that the Father has burning in his heart. And one of the dimensions of love is healing, isn't it? You want what is best for your children. If there's anything that they are lacking, spiritually, psychologically, even physically, by way of health, you'll do anything to achieve that. You love your children. You want what is best for them. How much more our Heavenly Father wants us to be healed, to be whole, to be happy, to be healthy. Now, we've come from a church where there has not been a lot of emphasis on the healing ministry. So people had to deal with sickness and illness. So oftentimes it would be, well, the Lord sent you this illness, even though that's directly contrary to the whole New Testament. Huh? I wonder how we could believe those things, that the Lord sent illness. And by the way, what's your illness? Oh, venereal disease, Father. Oh. Presents a lot of problems. If you believe God sends physical illness, then you naturally have to believe God sends mental illness. Paranoia, schizophrenia. I mean, that's atrocious, isn't it? That if we believe God sends illness, why has the Catholic Church, through the monks and the nuns, built hospitals to heal people? People say, Father, God wants me to suffer. He sent me this illness. Oh, you believe that? Yes. Do you go to the doctor? Yes, I go to the doctor to get healed. But you said God sends illness. Well, Father, I mean, if you can't get healed by the doctor, then God must want you to suffer. It's really contrary to the whole New Testament. Jesus says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. If your faith is a grain of mustard seed, you say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Everybody believes faith moves mountains, but very few people believe faith moves kidney stones. James 5, is there anyone sick among you? Let him call on the elders of the church, let him anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick man. And I think the church has admitted that we've been a little off track when it restored the anointing of the sick as a sacrament of healing, huh? Not a preparation for death as we used to be in the old days. So there's a lot of rethinking going on now in the whole area of healing. And a lot of people just really get angry because you're changing attitudes and thoughts they've had for 20, 30, 40 years. But I think we have to be honest. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Sometimes it makes you miserable, too, when you have to change. So that, yes, I believe God wants all men whole, happy, healthy. And let me ask you that question then. How many of you believe God wants all men saved in the Catholic sense of final salvation in heaven, hands in the air? Are all men saved in that sense?
Yes.
Probably not. There may be one who doesn't get into heaven in the history of mankind. Huh? Probably not all are saved in that sense. How many believe God wants all men saved in a non-Catholic sense of a deep encounter with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Are all men saved in that sense? No. Huh? There are, I know at least two people that don't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Is it because the Lord doesn't want it? No. How many believe God wants all men happy? Are all people happy? Is it because the Lord doesn't want it?
No.
How many believe God wants all men holy? Are all men holy?
No.
Is it because the Lord doesn't want it?
No.
How many believe God wants all men helpful to one another? Are all men helpful to one another?
No.
Is it because the Lord doesn't want it?
No.
How many believe God wants all men healed? Are all men healed?
No.
Is it because the Lord doesn't want it?
No.
I heard a dissenter in the crowd there. That's all right. No. This, ultimately, we're dealing with a mystery here, and I don't pretend to know any answers, and everybody in the healing ministry will say the same thing. We're dealing with the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of evil, and we really don't know, but we have some general principles to work by. And it seems that the Lord is calling us to minister His love, His healing, His wholeness as best we can. And we go all through this to show you that you can pray with people when they say, I have depression. Would you pray with me? You say, well, I don't know if God wants you healed. In the old days, you'd say that. Now you know the Lord does want that person healed. You're going to pray with greater enthusiasm. Someone says, I've lost my faith. Would you pray for me? You're going to say, of course I do, because I know God wants you healed. Someone says, I have cancer. Will you pray for me? And you're going to say, of course, because I know God wants all men healed. They may or may not be healed, but at least you have that assurance in your mind that the Lord is sending you to participate in the ministry of healing. That's why we go through this. I believe that the Lord permits people very young to die, even though that's not His perfect will. It's His permissive will. He permits it, but it's not His perfect will. Huh? And again, we're dealing with mystery, but at least most of us can go out and say, yes, when people come to me or when I feel that, I'm going to pray for healing in mind and body and spirit. And I'll be doing what the Lord is sending me to do. There may be occasional cases where someone's quite old and they're dying, and you ask the Lord, do you want me to pray for physical healing or do you want me to pray for a happy death? Because if you pray for physical healing, you could prolong their life here on earth when the Lord is calling them home to himself. In those cases, we ask the Lord. Ordinarily, we pray with faith. And Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if you're sick in mind or body or spirit, wouldn't you want someone to pray on you? Sure. First commandment, we can pray for healing. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in my and I in him will bear much fruit. Much fruit. Second point, second commandment is to receive the sacraments as often as possible to be healed. Especially do we emphasize the sacrament of reconciliation, because as I mentioned, the biggest emotion that people have to deal with is guilt. And guilt is anger at yourself, ultimately. Huh? And so in the sacrament of reconciliation, we have tremendous healing of guilt. As the scripture says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Now, I'm trying to be ecumenical, but I do not find many non-Catholics who do confess their sins to one another. They'll say, oh, I confess to God. But I don't find many people who really do confess their sins to one another. Although they would quote that scripture. You might ask some of your non-Catholic friends. It's an interesting subject. We choose to confess our sins to one another, the man happens to be the priest, who's a representative of the Christian community and has experience in the dealing with souls and spiritual matters and moral matters. And therefore, we're going to an expert to confess our sins, has some understanding of what's going on. And I cannot emphasize that enough. A lot of times people come to you and say, I need a deliverance from an evil spirit. I need a deliverance from an evil spirit. The first thing you do is send them to the sacrament of reconciliation if they're Catholic. Sister Breach McKenna tells that case of a man said, oh, for 15 years I've been upset and I need help. And she said, go to confession. And the fellow fought with it. Finally went to confession. Came out and said, oh, I feel wonderful. I don't need any prayer. Huh? Don't do for other people what they should be doing for themselves. Send them to reconciliation. You'll get a lot of deliverance in the sacrament. Eucharist, the very presence of Jesus as Christ, is the greatest way of healing, of deliverance, of liberation. This comes from the experts. Prayer life. As we get into deep prayer, the Lord's going to set us free with a lot of healing and a lot of deliverance as we go to him. Always remember, of course, that when you combine the sacraments with deep forgiveness, there's an emptying through forgiveness and a filling through the sacraments. Thirdly, pray for the sick as often as possible. In the old days, remember, we used to go to church and make holy hours, and some still do, and that's good. But I know people who, when they have a sick friend, go and make a holy hour next to the bed. They pray for them for an hour. We cannot pray too much for sick people. We pray too little. If you have a sick person in your house, I encourage you to pray every hour on the hour, as the station's radio television station identifies itself, station identification. Lay your hand on the sick person and pray as long as you reasonably can. Nextly, trust in the love of Jesus to heal the sick. God is love. He wants the best for that person. People say, well, I'm afraid. Wonder if I start praying with people and nothing happens, then it makes me look bad and I'm really concerned about my reputation. My pride is more important than their pain, really. That's what you're saying. Someone's hurting, do the best you can. Reach out and pray as best you can. And trust in the Lord, really, to move through you. I remember one time being in Brasilia, which is the capital of Brazil. Had about 8,000 people there on Pentecost Sunday, and I felt the Lord telling me to pray over a woman in the wheelchair. So I brought her out in front of 8,000 people, and I prayed, and nothing happened. You know, and I really fell down. I said, oh boy, I thought this was going to be a beautiful testimony of faith. And it fell through. Well, I had to leave at 12 o'clock to catch a plane back to the States, but the priest who had traveled with me was going to stay on and take some vacation there. In conversation about 8 months later, just happened to mention offhandedly that the woman that we'd prayed over at 11 o'clock in the wheelchair came back after lunch pushing her wheelchair.
Praise the Lord.
Huh? You, in other words, you trust in the Lord. You do what you can and leave the rest to Him. And I think that's all the Lord asks us to do, all we reasonably can. Nextly, lay hands on the person when reasonably possible. And the reason for that is there's a communication when you lay hands on a person. The energy of the Spirit flows through you. And if you don't believe that, next time you see a boy and girl holding hands walking down the street, tell them that that doesn't mean anything, that they shouldn't be holding hands. There's no communication. They'll say, man, you're half dead. Huh? There's a real communication in touch. In touch. And so as we lay hands, the Lord moves so powerfully. That's an instinctive gesture. And there were people who were laying hands almost from the beginning of the human race praying for healing. The ancients, 3,000 years before Jesus, had this sense that when they laid hands that there was an energy that traveled between the two persons. They call that prana, sense of well-being, went from one into the other. Nextly, surrender your life into the hands of Jesus. The more you can just relax and let the Spirit move through you, especially through the charismatic gifts, and some of you learned that today, how to release yourself. Just let yourself go and tongues will come out. Let yourself go and prophecy will come out. Begin to lay hands on people and pray, and the Spirit will move in healing. How many of you have seen people heal when you pray for them? Even one time, that's all. Yeah, a number of you have seen that. Nextly, praise the Lord as much as you can. God inhabits the praise of His people. The more we praise God, the more we open ourselves up to receive the Lord's blessing. And the louder the praise and the deeper the praise, the more healing there's going to be. I can pretty well tell in a healing service how much healing there's going to be when I hear the people praising. If it's low praise, I know there won't be that much. If it's high praise, I say, oh boy, there's going to be a lot of healing. And the healing will take place oftentimes as they're praising. So I cannot emphasize enough praising, especially praising in tongues. When you praise in tongues, you're generating an incredible amount of spiritual power. People are going to be healed, delivered, and set free right through the praise. So you cannot praise enough. And we're just preparing now to praise God for our eternity. So get used to it now, because that's what you're going to be doing the rest of your life. Believe in the words of Jesus, regardless of what seems to be happening. The Lord tells us, "If I tell you solemnly, if you have faith and do not doubt at all, not only will you do what I've done to the fig tree, but you say to this mountain, get up and throw yourself into the sea, it shall be done." I'm going to demonstrate that later today. The power of faith. See, there's two ways of healing. There are many, but the two main ways of we as Catholics tend to intercede. We pray on a person, lay hands, oh Lord, heal this person, show me what again, we pray in tongues. There's another way called the prayer of faith. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be set free. And if you look at the Gospels, Jesus and the apostles never really prayed for healing. They commanded healing. Get up and show yourself to the high priest. Young girl, I say to you, arise. Those are words of faith to the man at the pool. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. There's two ways of trying to attain healing. Intercession, which is usually the Catholic way, but also the prayer of faith. And we're going to try to use that this afternoon to show that to you, demonstrate it. Nextly, you shall forgive all who hurt you or have offended you. Here we come now to the tremendous area of forgiveness, because no matter when you're dealing with the Spirit, you've got to check for the blocks to the Spirit. And the biggest block to the Spirit is bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. And so the Lord calls us to bring ourselves into deep forgiveness and to bring other people. Somebody was saying last night, I wish I had a ministry. I wish I had a ministry. All of you who don't have a ministry now can have a ministry very easily. Just take the forgiveness prayer. Start sharing it with people. But first of all, you should say it yourself every day, just to really be totally convinced. Then when you're convinced, just take it to people and say, look, this is a prayer for healing. It works. Say it for 30 days. And they'll say, oh, no, no, I'm too busy, I can't say it. I would say it for 9 days. Cut it down. But if you can keep them on it for 30 days, the longer they're on it, the better. And people will be healed just saying the forgiveness prayer, because as the block is removed, the spirit flows. The key to healing is forgiveness. The key to healing is forgiveness. So the more you get into forgiveness, and the more you bring people into forgiveness, the more healing you're going to see. In the Dominican Republic, they have printed 40,000 copies of this forgiveness prayer. And they said, we're going to renew our country through forgiveness. I had a priest call me up and say, send me 1,000 of those copy booklets, Forgiveness and Inner Healing. People love that. That's our best-selling book, Forgiveness and Inner Healing. Just the title really touches people. Just, in fact, somebody ordered 100 last night. They're going to start sharing them with people. Just put people on forgiveness, and they'll be healed. So this priest said, send me 1,000. I'm going to renew my parish through forgiveness. Imagine husbands forgiving wives, parents forgiving children, in-laws forgiving, neighbors forgiving, everybody forgiving the priest forgiving the busybodies in his parish. The tremendous amount of healing that would go on. All right, so we're going to conclude now. We're going to say the forgiveness prayer. We don't have much time. Well, what little time we have, we're going to say it, and this will be our recitation for today. So close your eyes and just repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
I ask today
for
the grace to forgive.
Lord,
I forgive myself
for
all my sins,
all
my faults,
all
my failings,
for
all that's bad in myself,
hurting my parents,
getting drunk,
using drugs,
for sins against purity.
You have forgiven me.
Today I forgive myself.
I forgive my mother
for the time she hurt me,
resented me,
was angry with me,
punished me,
preferred my brothers and sisters to me,
told me I was dumb,
ugly,
stupid,
the worst of the children,
that I cost the family a lot of money,
that I was unwanted,
an accident,
a mistake,
or not what she expected.
I forgive my father
for
non-support,
lack of love,
lack of affection,
lack of attention,
lack of time,
lack of companionship,
for fighting with my mother,
for severe punishments,
for desertion,
being away from home,
divorcing my mother,
or any running around.
I forgive my marriage partner
for lack of love,
lack of affection,
lack of consideration,
lack of support,
for faults,
failings,
weaknesses,
those words or acts
that hurt and disturb me.
Lord, I forgive my children
for their lack of respect,
lack of obedience,
lack of consideration,
for their falling away from the church,
for all bad actions that disturb me.
Lord, I forgive my friends
who have let me down,
lost contact with me,
were not available when I needed help,
borrowed money and did not return it,
gossiped about me.
Lord Jesus,
I forgive all priests,
all nuns,
my parish,
my pastor,
the bishop,
the pope,
the Roman Catholic Church,
for all their lack of support,
pettiness,
bad sermons,
for any hurts they have inflicted.
I forgive them today.
Lord, I especially pray
for the grace of forgiveness
for that one person in life
who hurt me the most. The one whom I said I would never forgive.
The one whom I said I would never forgive.
The one who's hardest to forgive.
The one who's hardest to forgive.
The one you're calling me to forgive.
The one you're calling me to forgive.
Lord, I beg pardon. Of all these people. For the hurts I have inflicted on them.
Especially my mother and father.
And my marriage partner.
And
I thank you, Lord.
For all your
love. That has come to me. Through them. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We're now going to put everything together, what we've learned through healing, what we've learned through miracles, what we've learned through tongues, the power of faith in commanding. And I want to demonstrate one more time this method that's called arm and leg adjustment. It really isn't the growing of legs, as some people call it, but it's really a back adjustment done through the power of the Spirit that oftentimes brings dramatic healing. The person sits straight in the chair, remembering that when people come to you with pain in the shoulders or in the back and the spine, that they're out of straight. And we're going to command in the name of Jesus that they be brought back into straight. And as that happens, I'd say about 90% of the time, they're set free from pain, oftentimes in a very dramatic way. And at healing services, I always use this in front of the congregation to show in action what I'm saying in words. But of course, if anyone comes with pain in their neck, one of the first questions you ask them is, who's the pain in your neck? Because so many neck problems are basically anger problems, anger in a relationship, as I personally believe most physical ailments, degenerative ailments, are basically emotional problems, and beneath every emotion is anger, and that anger buries itself in some part of the body, the knees, the ankles, and we have problems. All right, once again now, the nose is the center of the body. You get on your knees, if you can. If you can't, it's okay to bend over. You draw the bottom of the heels, together in the center, and you look for the difference between one heel and the other. In this case, it's about a quarter of an inch. The right leg is a quarter of an inch higher. The bottom of the heels are like this. I get under the shoes, Remember that now. Most people will do this, or they'll do this. Under the shoes to press them up to make sure you get a true reading. And then you spread the heels a little so they don't bind together, and you make your commands. And I'll lead you in the commands. Pelvic frame, sacrum, muscles, disc, vertebrae, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go back into normal position. Now, I can feel her frame on the right side moving down. Can you feel? You can feel that going on. You can feel the pelvic frame moving. Now her heels are equal. That was done through command, a command of faith. If you do not achieve desired results, or if there's a lot of tissue in there to be healed, then you can get into tongues. And you can extend the time. The longer you pray, the better. In this particular case, pray in tongues, asking the Lord to bring healing into that tissue. Her bottom of her heels are equal. That means there's been healing from the bottom down. Now from the bottom up, we're going to use her arms. Her back is against the chair. Make sure your people are in the chair, straight in the chair, because you want to get a true reading. Some people tend to go slouch in the chair. Make sure those hips are against the chair so you get a true reading. All right. Back is against the chair, under the wrist, and you measure the ends of the
longest
fingers, not the short fingers, the ends of the longest fingers. Nose is the center of the body. You draw your imaginary line. You bring them together. You can press them together. She's only about a 16th of an inch. I separate them so they can move freely. Hands underneath, shoulder frame, first cervical, muscles, disc, vertebrae, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go back into normal position. And then if you don't get the desired effect, pray in tongues. And you measure them, and when they're equal, then you can be assured there's straightness there, and the person should
90% of the times the pain will be gone. Sometimes you will not achieve healing. And this could be a variety of things. Most of the time, it's going to be a lack of forgiveness. Unforgiveness of themselves, unforgiveness of their marriage partner. If they're a widow or a widower, you will find there's deep bitterness towards their partner for dying and the Lord for letting them die. Now, they will deny that most of the time. But you try to lead them gently into the fact that their partner has left them, and if they can forgive their partner for leaving them, for deserting them, leaving them alone. Forgiving the Lord for letting them die. Now, this is a real problem. People are going to deny it, and the better Catholics they are, the more they tend to deny it. Because they say, oh, no, I'm a good Catholic. I'm not angry at the Lord. But this is what I found over the years in my ministry. All this anger is deep down in the subconscious mind, and most of them are not in touch with it. But try to lead them into forgiveness. And of course, you always should have them do the forgiveness prayer before that you do this on them. Remember, the principle is always bring people into deep forgiveness before you pray for them, because oftentimes they'll be healed right in the deep forgiveness or the forgiveness prayer. All right, now I've done her feet, I've done her arms, I come back and I check the bottom of their heels, they are equal, then there should be no pain in that woman's body. Now say she says, yes, there is some pain in my neck. Then you can go back and put your hand right on that area and pray in tongues. Do commands if you want to, and then pray in tongues and just stick with it. Oftentimes, after 2 or 3 minutes, you'll get the pain leaving. Okay? Are there any questions before we begin? Put up your hand and let me recognize you and pick you up on the microphone. Yes?
Yeah, Father, isn't this kind of formula... Okay. Isn't this kind of formulistic? I mean, why couldn't one just say, Lord, whatever is wrong with this person, please heal them, and that be just as effective?
Yeah. One of the rules of the healing ministry is the more specific the prayer, the more powerful it is. And I can't explain it. We know it's true. So that if your eye is hurting you, I say, Lord, heal that eye. Or I can pray in a better way, Lord, I let your light and love shine into the optic nerve, the viscous fluid, the lens, the retina. Let your light just go into that whole eye, the socket. And we find that type of prayer is more powerful. Why the Lord chose this, I don't know. All I know is I'm a pragmatic charismatic. What works? Now, people say, why do we have to be baptized with water? Why can't we be baptized with milk? I don't know. The Lord said he chose water. That's what he said. That's what I do. A lot of people say, why do things have to be this way? And oftentimes we just don't know. That's the dispensation that the Lord has set up. He has given this apparently to an evangelist who shared it around the world, and it's been used since 1970 with tremendous success. Tremendous success. All I know, it works, and I want to achieve results. And most Americans are very result oriented. Okay. You may step down. Any other questions, Connie?
I was just wondering, in all this room we're sitting here to do a healing of the musculoskeletal system, do most people have, even just slight imbalances?
Yes, most people have it because of the tension in life. We don't realize the tension we work under. Many of you are going to get up and say, I feel much more relaxed. And the reason is because your frame is straight and the muscles aren't tugging and you feel more relaxed. The muscles can go back into normal position. One more question.
Does it help if the person in the chair praying in tongues or
praying? I would just picture the Lord standing in front of you, blessing you. Let the other person do the praying. All right, are we ready? Everybody on their knees. Now get under the shoes, under the insteps. Linda will move around and check everybody, making sure they're under the insteps. Nose is the center of the body. Draw your imaginary line. You're under the shoes. V out the shoes. Get in a V so you can see the bottom of the heels. All right, now you see the deviation, don't you? Always keep your eyes open. I don't want to see anybody praying with their eyes closed. Keep your eyes open so you can see the movement, and thus your faith will be built up as you see the movement. All right. V out the shoes. You're under the insteps. You see the deviation. Most of them will not be equal. Separate them a little so they can move now. Separate the heels a little so they can move. Repeat after me. Pelvic frame.
Pelvic frame.
Sacrum.
Sacrum.
Muscles.
Discs.
Vertebrae.
Vertebrae.
In the name of Jesus, I command you to go back to normal position. Keep your eyes on those heels. Don't keep your eyes open and on those heels so you can see the movement. All right, now, just for good measure, we're going to add intercession. Let's pray in tongues. Keep your eyes on those heels. Amen. Put the heels together now and see if they're equal. If they're not equal, if they are not equal, say I.
I.
There's a few of you having trouble. Let's pray a little more in tongues. Let's pray in tongues a little more for those heels to become equal. Amen. Put their feet down. Now, everyone, extend your arms. Those sitting, extend your arms as rigidly forward as possible with back against the chair. Make sure their back is against the chair. Make sure their back is against the chair. Draw your imaginary line. Bring the ends of the longest fingers together and check the deviation. Check the differential between the finger length. Okay? You see that? Bring the ends of the longest fingers together, press them together so you can see the difference. If they're perfectly equal, that's good. Most of them will not be perfectly equal. Separate the hands now. Make the commands after me. Shoulder frame.
Shoulder frame.
First cervical.
First cervical.
Muscles.
Discs.
Vertebrae. In the name of Jesus. I command you to go back into normal position. And just for the practice, let's go ahead and pray in tongues in case you need it sometimes. Amen. Go back and check the heels now. We don't want that person to get up unless those heels are equal. If they are not equal, then you know you may have some more work to do. All right. Okay, now check them. Now change positions. Change positions. The prayer becomes the prayee. Quickly change positions without noise. That's it. Quickly change positions. All right. Now, down on your knees, the new prayers. People in the chair, put your hips to the chair. Back into the chair. Put your hips to the chair. Okay. Now, everyone, draw your imaginary line. Get under the shoes. Under the shoes. Under the shoes. Okay, V out your shoes. Look at the bottom of the heels. See the deviation, the differential there, okay? Okay. You see, separate the heels a little so they can move freely now. Here we go. Make the commands. Keep your eyes open. Watch those heels so you can see them move. Do not close your eyes. Ready. Pelvic frame.
Pelvic frame.
Sacrum.
Sacrum.
Muscles. Discs. Vertebrae, in the name of Jesus, I command you, go back to normal position. Just for the experience, let's pray in tongues. Keep your eyes open, watching the bottom of those heels. Put the heels together now. Those whose heels are not equal, say I.
I.
All right, not too many, just about five or six of you. All right, let's just pray another minute for those people whose heels did not come into perfect alignment. Shandaradaha handa randa 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 di. Shandaradanda randa randa halla di 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 danda da. Amen. All right, stand up. Those people kneeling, stand up. People in the chairs, extend your arms straight in front of you as far as you can, as rigidly as possible. As rigidly as possible. If you're standing up, you can look down on the fingertips. Draw your imaginary line. Bring the ends of the longest fingers together and see the differential. See what the difference is. Okay? Separate the hands a little, keeping your eyes on the ends of the fingertips. Make the commands. Shoulder frame.
Shoulder frame.
First cervical.
First cervical.
Muscles. Discs. Vertebrae. In the name of Jesus. Go back to normal position. All right, let's just pray in tongues to have that experience of sometimes if it doesn't work by command, we'll pray in tongues. Shandara halada da 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 Halla da da dee dun da dun da hun da da dun da dun da dee. Now bring the fingertips together. How many can say these fingertips are not equal? Say I. Not too many. Amen?
Amen.
Go back and check the heels. Everybody kneel and check the heels. Make sure they're equal. That person will walk away unequal, huh? How many can say these heels are not equal? Say I. Just a few. Okay. Now, point. Everybody listen. Sometimes you'll run into a situation where the heels will not move at all. You make the command, nothing happens. What you do is go up and do the arms. And then when you come back, sometimes you have seen that the heels went back into position. I can't explain it. Sometimes the person may be resistant, saying, I don't believe all this is nonsense. I look like a fool here. And they could be blocking the power. But when you get up to the arms, we notice sometimes they probably relax, and the heel, the whole spine goes into straight. All right, now, let's be quiet. We're going to do an evaluation. How many of you can say, I experienced healing. My pain has gone. Stand up and wave your hand, those who can say, my pain is gone. Stand up and wave your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 23, almost half. Be seated. How many of you are kneeled down? How many of you saw movement? You saw the arms and legs move, hands high in the air. That's pretty, almost everybody. Almost everybody saw faith and prayer work. That's going to build your faith. All right, let's take on the third question. How many of you feel much more relaxed than when you started? Hands high in the air. You know something happened, you're much more relaxed. All right, that's almost everybody. Okay, now the other kneelers can go kneeling if you want to stand up. Let's take some questions. We got about 9 minutes to take questions. Let me ask you the question, so don't just yell it out for the sake of good. Come up front, in fact, so we can put it on the microphone. I'm so used to carrying a hand mic, I keep picking up the hand mic instead of using the portable.
I have my right leg went 2 inches, so that it's even, but I still have some pain. And I'm wondering if I did injure a nerve, yes. The sciatic nerve, about two years ago. And
but you're equal, huh?
Yeah, now I'm equal.
All right, why don't you just let me have a chair here, and let me just pray over you quickly and see if we can get that pain out of there. What I was going to do is just send you back to the person who prayed for you and tell them to pray in tongues. Sit up nice and straight, hips to the chair. Lord, I just ask you, in Jesus' name, take that pain away. Command that pelvic frame, sacrum, muscles, disc, vertebrae, in the name of Jesus.
Shundaradanda, Halladanda, Hundaradanda, Danda, 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 Danda.
Any pain in there now, sister? Stand up and walk. Just walk. Any pain at all?
Just very slight.
And how long have you had that condition?
About 2 years.
2 years. Okay. See, I've been doing this for years and years, and I'm open to it. Oftentimes, as soon as I touch the person, the adjustment will take place because I'm so open to it. My spirit is open. And the more you do it, the more open you become, the faster, the quicker it's going to work. All right, have that person pray over that area in tongues to take the rest of that pain out of there. Okay, Connie?
This is just a comment. It was amazing. Before we even started praying, you could see the movement, and it was off the sponge.
Yeah. And are you a nurse? You're a nurse.
Right.
You understand this sort of thing?
Not this.
I mean, you understand arms and legs being different lengths.
Right.
Enough.
And it was just before I could just see it. Just
and what happened?
Her right arm moved a good half an inch before we even started praying. It just, whoom, it was there.
Okay, because she said, you got to pray for me. She was very open. She says, you got to pray for me. I said, you know, they're going to pray over you. See, in her openness and eagerness, the spirit just moved. How do you feel now?
Oh, it feels great, Father.
What did you have?
Pains in my back up there and down here.
For how long?
My hip.
For how long?
Years.
How many years, roughly?
5 or 6.
Okay, now what do you think about that? You prayed over and pains have gone away after 5 or 6 years.
Oh, I just feel like it's been a blessing to me for God to use me as the vessel for her.
Doctors and nurses are very open. Once they begin to believe, because their whole psychology is healing, the Lord moves powerfully through them. Okay? All right. Any other questions? Questions? Yes, come right up here. Anybody else, just line up with your question and we'll try and answer as many as we can. Grace?
Can we pray too much? Because before we prayed, Prince extended her hand. The right finger was longer. After we prayed, the left finger was longer.
All right. Bless her a lot. What happened is her shoulder frame moved. You needed more time for that to seesaw back into position, especially with scoliosis and severe back conditions. You'll see a lot of seesawing. The shoulder frame takes a while to seesaw into position, so you need to go back and pray on her. See, you can do that on your lunchtime, on your dinner time. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Come right over and this is a beautiful experience. How many of you feel your faith has been built up by this workshop? You've just seen something and it's built your faith. Hands high in the air. See, that's almost everybody here. So that I think that's why Jesus wants us to pray for healing for people, because it's a visible manifestation of the invisible gospel. It makes the gospel come alive.
Father, my question has something to do with technicality. What is the level at which the legs get healed most effectively?
How do you
too
mean?
Too high. That? I wondered whether the leg was held up too high. There was a little strain if it was too high or too low.
Yeah, you have to be careful sometimes with people with painful legs. Just an inch off the ground. As long as you can measure the heels, that's the important thing. It doesn't have to be 5 feet in the air. Just right off the ground so that the legs are free to move. Any other questions? Yes, come right over.
With her, the more I prayed, the more her feet came down because they were off about that much.
Yes.
But they never did get straight. I should pray with her some more.
Yeah, right? Continue. Connie, come over here and I'll check them out. Sometimes after you finish it, the spirit's still moving in the person. It can happen. Let me just see your feet here. I get a perfect reading. Yeah. Amen. The importance is keeping the imaginary line straight down the center, so you're in the center. You're getting a true reading. The hips are against the chair, and the bottom of the heels are right in the center. You get a true reading.
Trish. When I started out, she was a full inch behind, and then it moved to like a half inch, and I've got a quarter inch.
She's got a quarter inch?
That's not quite.
Why don't you step over here, and we'll check you out.
Okay.
In front of the camera. No one's looking. No one's looking. All right, we'll check her out. A lot of times it could be a wrong reading. Other times, we'll check it out. All right, nose is the center of the body.
All right, now I get a perfect reading. I think you are not unsatisfied.
I want to say also, when we were getting ready when I was ready to do my partner there, all day my shoulder's been hurting me, and I've had that problem for many, many years.
How many years, roughly?
Many years.
Oh, 100 years, about how many? About many years could be...
At least 30 years.
Now, that's many years, all right.
Yes.
And it's gone?
No, but wait a minute. But anyhow, when I sat down, that she would do me, I had such a pain, I couldn't...
Yes.
I didn't think I'd be able to hold my arms up. It's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Where did it go? The Lord took it. The Lord answered the command of faith and prayer. All right. Let me just pray with you now to end this segment for an increase in the gift of miracles, increase in the gift of healing and faith. And this will be for the people on videotape too. The Lord is not limited. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would open all of us up in a greater way to let the Spirit move through us in the gift of healing, in the gift of miracles, in the gift of faith. Lord, we know that you want to heal, especially the members of our family, physically, spiritually, psychologically, socially, in every way, relationally. And we just say, yes, Lord Jesus, we will be the instruments of healing. We will move as we feel led by the Spirit to lay hands, to pray with people in the fish market, in the store, in the office, in the school, in the church, in the factory, in the home. Wherever you lead us, we will say, yes, Lord. We will pray in simple faith, and we trust you, Lord, that you're going to lead us and guide us through your Spirit, and that from time to time we're going to experience a deep faith, knowing that you will work. We thank you, Lord, for your love and goodness. Continue to heal all of us at this seminary, those watching this seminar on tape. Continue to heal us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be better channels of healing others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Continue.